Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for staying with me. Rich Galen is our guest, our good friend. Rich is a great American. He and I are celebrating, along with you, the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the attacks of 9/11, and when our nation was attacked and almost 3,000 people were murdered. Rich was with me the next day on the show to give us a report on what happened in Washington, D.C. But, Rich, we're going to shift horses a little bit here because, I mean, it might be a little unseemly to talk politics as we're doing this commemoration, but, Rich, you and I didn't decide for the president to jam up his job speech on the eve of the commemoration. So you know, this is not my fault. It's his fault. But I was
doing CNN when they announced that they were going to do this in a couple of weeks during August when he was still on vacation. And I said to Will Pulitzer on the air, I said, "Well, why does it have to wait till September? He could do it now." And Wolf looked at me and said, "Well, what if it's not ready?" I said, "He's been in office for 2.5 years.
This is his third summer.
He's just now figuring out that they need a job."
Do your homework, Mr. President. Rich, one of the things that struck me is the things that the president was so specific about were construction jobs. You know, roads, bridges, schools. They're gonna build or repair 35,000 schools. Rich, I don't hear an outcry of schools saying fix me. I don't know where this came from. But here's the one thing that I want to remind everybody: underlying everything that's done, that's connected even by a thin hair to the federal government, requires that even if you're not a union shop, you have to pay Davis-Bacon wages. Those are the prevailing union wages in the area for that job. And so my point is, Rich, all of those things that he was so worked up about were all about union jobs. And this comes back to what I asked him not to do yesterday when I did a segment on you know, advising him on his speech. I said, "Don't pick winners and losers, Mr. President. That won't work. It hasn't worked. Go ahead."
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. What it does, one of two things happen. Either you have to hire less people to do this. I was a city councilman, as you know, and we had to deal with this all the time. And either you have to hire less people to do the work because they have to pay them more, and in many cases, a lot more than you could have gotten equally skilled people to do the work for. Or you can do less different jobs because you have to pay so much more per person. So in either event, the taxpayers and the citizens of the location where the work is being done are paying an enormous premium for which they get no value.
Well, and the thing is, Rich, my point is I don't care what people are making. I'm not trying to get people to make less. I hope they make more. But the point is the marketplace should decide how those people are paid to get the best job for the best budget. And Davis-Bacon doesn't allow us to do that. And so my point is his attempt to grow jobs. See, he didn't bring up Davis-Bacon. The pundits, the people you hear commentating on this, are not bringing up Davis-Bacon. But underlying this whole thing was this one sentiment. Everybody knows if it has 1 cent of federal funds that commingles with $1 billion of private funds, Davis-Bacon applies.
Yeah. So the wider point was this speech was a SOP, S-O-P, the unions, and protecting, helping not only protect but help foster. Foster, you know, union growth, because that's his base, and he's got to pay off Jimmy Hoffa from last week.
There are other things. There are other things, Rich, that I didn't like about the speech, but I did make some notes of things that I did like. Reform Medicare. I like that he said that. We'll see if he can do it. Lower corporate tax rates. I like that he said that. We'll see if he'll do it. Accelerate payments to small business owners who have government contracts. God bless you for that, Mr. President. Make it happen. Trade agreements. I like that he said that, but, Rich, they're laying on his desk. They haven't even been sent to Congress. And Rich, they've been laying around on desks. The Columbia Free Trade Agreement has been laying around in Congress or the President's desk for 10 years.
Again, it's because the American unions want greater emphasis on having on not being able to import cheaper goods that are made by people working for lesser wages.
Right.
Which is why you have trade agreements in the first place, so that you can import things even and export things more easily. And the theory behind the macro theory behind those trade agreements is, of course, that as your trading partners' economies grow, they will want more of the goods and services that we produce. And so, in the end, it works out for everybody.
Absolutely. Nancy
but it
Pelosi.
Doesn't work out it doesn't work out if you go in, you know, trying to game the system before you even start.
Rich, I got to wrap it up. Mullings.com, right?
Mullings.com, my friend.
Rich, thanks for being here. God bless you. God bless America. We'll see you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll be back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.